This is Luke chapter 5, verses 12 to 15. While Jesus was in one of the towns, a man came along who was covered with leprosy. When he saw Jesus, he fell with his face to the ground and begged him, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. "I am willing," he said, "be clean." And immediately the leprosy left him. When Jesus ordered him, "Don't tell anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and offer the sacrifices that Moses commanded for your cleansing as a testimony to them." Yet the news about him spread all the more, so the crowds of people came to hear him and to be healed of their sicknesses. But Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed.
Well done.
Well done, my darling.
Shall I leave this here for you?
You can leave it. Thank you, yes. Thank you. Right. So that's the story we wanted to look at. It's just a short passage, but it has something, I believe, really, really important to get a hold of our hearts and our lives, as you'll see. So if we could have the next picture, please. Right. It's the case of the man with leprosy. We're going to be looking a little bit, I won't give you some terribly gory pictures or anything, but we're looking at the issue of what leprosy was about, because for us nowadays, it doesn't really strike that terror and that horror in our minds that perhaps it would have done in the communities that Jesus was living in. In some parts of the world, in India particularly, you see, it's endemic. And leprosy is a terrible thing, as we'll see in a moment. But in reaching out to this leper, Jesus is breaking down tremendous barriers. Nobody goes near lepers. Nobody has anything to do with lepers. And yet Jesus comes and ministers to this man. So Jesus goes over all the hurdles and the barriers to help and bless people, which is wonderful. So, in the time of Moses, the laws were given by God to protect the community. I hope you're aware of this, that the idea of the quarantine thing was a very wise, healthy issue for the nation. I know it was pretty tough on the individual, of course it would be, that they'd be separated from the community. But in terms of maintaining the health of the nation, isolation was the only solution, because they didn't have the drugs that we have today. And so that's how they had dealt with it. So here we have what it says in Leviticus regarding lepers and so on. "Anyone with such a defiling disease must wear torn clothes, let their hair be unkempt, cover the lower part of their face and cry out, 'Unclean, unclean.' As long as they have the disease, they remain unclean. They must live alone. They must live outside the camp." So you can see, leprosy was a terrible condition, and people were afraid of it. I suppose the nearest we would get to today would be a combination of Ebola and HIV. That's the sort of fear factor that this particular disease carries. And of course, I put leprosy in inverted commas, because leprosy wouldn't be diagnosed as leprosy as we would diagnose. It may be a multitude of other skin conditions that could be associated with that. So leprosy covers various, I think some Bible translations say skin disease. But leprosy is the one that is the nasty one. Right, so a little bit of information, please. Next one. Thank you, Jean. It's all a bit factual stuff, but it might be helpful. Nations where leprosy is endemic, all these particular areas shown in there, South America, Africa, and Asia, it's endemic there, leprosy, and it's often associated with poor living conditions. When people don't have a healthy diet and a healthy sort of environment, leprosy is likely to take hold. Most new cases occur in 16 countries, with India counting for more than half. That's why Chris and Marion were visiting a leper colony while they were out there. Most leper colonies nowadays have been closed down. Because it's not a very contagious, it sounds terrible, doesn't it? But it's not a very contagious condition under present circumstances, and it is treatable with modern drugs. It's while there isn't any drug resistance, it's treatable, let's put it that way. Leprosy is spread between people, and this is believed to occur through a cough or contact with fluid from the nose of an infected person. So, yeah. No more coughing, please. They used to have, some years ago, I mean, our nation has gone worse on the health front, you know. And they used to have adverts on the telly some years ago.
Like
coughs and sneezes spread diseases. Yes. And they had this old chap who kept coughing and sneezing everywhere, and they took him away in a van eventually, in the adverts, you know. But maybe that wasn't the solution, but, you know, the idea of general hygiene. And of course, Israel was better than most nations, because God had given them these dietary laws and these laws of cleansing and so on, which maintained the national health. They had a national health service before we'd even thought of it. In fact, you're probably aware of this, that in the Middle Ages, when the Black Death was doing its rounds in Europe, wiped out virtually, I think, a third to a half of the European population, while the Black Death was doing the rounds, the Jewish communities didn't particularly suffer a major impact because of their particular dietary and health issues and baths and all of that sort of thing. And so, you know what the nations did? Blame the Jews for it. Well, there you are, anti-Semitism again. Anyway, next picture, please. Here we are. Here, I've just got one picture of a poor man there who suffered from leprosy. Just a description. Initially, infections are without symptoms and typically remain this way for 5 to 20 years. So you can have it and not know it. That's the trouble. But when it starts to bite, it seriously can. Because what it does is it affects the nerves, the respiratory tract, skin and eyes. So people become disfigured. They don't feel any pain. That's the problem. Well, one of the problems. So when they don't feel any pain, it results in the fact when you're cooking something and your fingers get burnt, you don't go... They don't do it. So fingers and limbs and other parts of their bodies get damaged through not being aware of pain. Did you know that pain was a blessing?
Yeah.
I remember in physiology, when I was doing physiology at Cambridge, you know, we're doing part of the medical course. They're on about pain. It's an important part. It's an important part of being aware and healthy, that you feel pain. The problem is it won't go away. It's told you you're in pain. You know there's something wrong. You just wish you'd switch off then, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
But it doesn't quite do that. Until it's okay, it'll let you know. And so here we have this poor man, and leprosy was a terrible condition. And as a result, these people were isolated from the community. Right, next please. So, into the story now. A man came along who was covered with leprosy. Now the word covered there is an important word, because it's really saying it's as bad as you get.
Yes.
This man is really, really bad with leprosy. It may be, at this stage, covered means, and it's mentioned in the Levitical account there, that once they're completely covered with leprosy, they're no longer infectious. Which is a strange thing, but that's what it was they said. Right? So, but... when you're no longer infectious, it means you've got so bad that it's all over your body and you're in big trouble personally, even if nobody else is. So this man has really lost it.
Sorry.
Okay? So, he's past the infectious stage, but he's the worst possible case. Jesus, isn't it interesting how when Jesus comes to minister people, he usually takes on the worst case scenario?
Yeah.
Well, this is one, for example. Again, just to emphasise what leprosy meant to people, it was social separation. You were cut off from your family. It was a hopeless situation. Very rarely would anybody be healed of leprosy, of course. And effectively, it was a death sentence. You were alive, but you were no longer a part of the community. You couldn't go to worship. You were out of everything. So, and you depended on other people giving you bits to eat, I suppose, as well. So it was tough. Right. So, just a little question I put at the bottom there. What made the man come? And how on earth did he get near to Jesus in the first place? Well, what made him come, do you think?
He was at the end of
church about Jesus.
Yeah, I think he heard about Jesus. He was desperate. When you're at that situation, people will try most things, don't they, yes? He was desperate, but I guess he'd heard about Jesus and some of the miracles he'd already started doing. So, news travels fast. When there's a little glimmer of light, you'll head for it. So he tries, and how did he get near to Jesus?
Pushed his way through.
He didn't need to push his way, just say unclean, they all clear off. I would think, I may be wrong, but that's my guess. You know, you instant access when you're contaminating people, you know. So everybody clears out of the way, I guess. So that's how he came to Jesus, right? So he came to the right place and the right person. Next, please. When he saw Jesus, he fell with his face to the ground and begged him, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." Now this verse, to my mind, raises so many profound questions. Some of the questions I've got answers to, as I'll share with you, but it's a big one, this. This is the heart and core of what this little passage is about to some degree. Right? What's he saying to Jesus? He says, Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean. Lord, you can make me clean. That's faith, isn't it?
Yes.
He knows that Jesus can help him. Yes. But he starts at the beginning with an if. Lord, if you're willing. I think that's doubt. He's not sure whether the Lord wants to.
Yeah.
He knows the Lord can, but he's not sure whether the Lord wants to.
And doesn't feel worthy.
I think that's... He doesn't feel worthy. He's probably one, you know, I'm a mess. And again, the Bible doesn't say in this instance, or in many instances, how this man came to be in this condition. He may have been messing around and doing the wrong sort of things and caught it, or it may have been accidental. We don't know. God's not about portioning blame here in this instance, right? So, whatever it was, he wouldn't feel worthy, but I suspect also, he knows the Bible says he's an outcast. You know? God's against him. Because the Bible says you're not wanted, you're out. And he would read it as that, I guess. That's not what God meant. God was saying he's protecting society. He didn't say, I want to write you off, but, you know, that's how he felt it, I'm sure. But, he thinks, and he knows that Jesus is able, but he's not sure whether Jesus is willing. Right? I read one commentary about it, that he thinks it's not what he's not saying he doesn't think Jesus is willing, but he's doing what Jesus did. Father, if it's your will, then, you know, I'd like to like you to heal me. As Jesus says, Father, if it's your will, get me away from this cross business. But, you know, he's willing to accept what God says. I'm not too sure. I think it's a matter of doubt and faith with this poor man struggling. And that, dear friends, is an issue for us all. You know, when we come to pray for people who aren't well, right? I believe Jesus is willing.
Yes.
Right? Right? I know he's able. I'm absolutely sure he's able. But it's the issue about whether he's willing. Does he want to? And you know, I mean, you don't need me to tell you that the people with great healing ministries will always tell you that there are some people who aren't healed. And then the blame game begins, doesn't it? You didn't have enough faith, or something like that. That's not nice, and it's wrong, of course. And Jesus had a wonderful example of that, as he was going along, and there was that man born blind. And his disciples turned to him and said, whose fault was it? Was it his, or his parents, that he was born blind? And Jesus' answer was, neither. This happened so that God can get some glory out of this situation. So, blame games are not what God's into in that respect, yes? So, we come to the situation where we say, Lord, you're able. I believe you're willing. And then someone doesn't get healed. What's your answer? How do you cope with that?
If it's the Lord's will, is
the answer that we come up with. I'd like to say, God's will is, well, he tells us in Romans, God's will is good and perfect. Right? I think if I was going to do a little sort of commentary on this one, it would be something like this. Jesus is able, Jesus is willing, but God's timing may be not quite what you want.
Yeah.
That's often the case, isn't it? God's timing isn't quite the way we work it out. But friends, at the end of the day, God's going to help people. He's going to sort out things when they come to him for help. Right? So, one day we're all going to be perfectly healthy. Did you know that? You won't be cronky then, you know. Right? We're all going to be perfectly healthy. So, in the end, God answers our prayers. It's just that time factor that's the problem for us. Well, maybe there is a bit about, Lord, let your will be done in my life too. But the man comes along and he says, Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean. He's really saying, please help me. And God isn't deaf to such sorts of questions and cries. Yeah? Right, next please then. So, what happens is, Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. Right, Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. Yes. Did Jesus break the law?
Yeah.
Yes.
I think he did. Ah, that's a good one for you. Let me put it this way. Jesus couldn't break the law, otherwise he wouldn't be perfect.
No.
Jesus mustn't break the law. He came to fulfill the law in every respect, so that when you are measured up against it and fail, he can say, have my record sheet.
Yeah.
Yeah? That's good to have, isn't it?
Yeah.
Right, so Jesus couldn't break the law. So there's something going on which is really interesting. Our translation doesn't help us on this one. Let me just show you what it says. Of course, to touch an unclean person was against the law. That's in the Bible, in the Leviticus and so on. You'd be ceremonially defiled by contact with something that's wrong. Okay? Even if you're not aware of it, you're ceremonially unclean. That doesn't mean to say you've been affected, but it means in terms of approaching God, you've got a problem. Right. So Jesus couldn't have broken the law. So what did he do? And the original language, translated, says, stretching out his hand, he touched him, saying. Right? Now that's important. He touched him while he was speaking. He didn't touch him and then speak. No. He touched him as he was speaking. And as he was speaking, what happened to the guy? He was healed before the hand got there.
Yeah.
That's what I'm understanding it as. Yeah?
Yeah.
So the man is whole before he touches the leper.
Yeah.
Right. So Jesus didn't break the law, but he fixed him good and proper. And you know, this was, if you think about it, the touch that Jesus gave the man demonstrates that he's clean. So Jesus wasn't contaminated by the man. The man was made clean by Jesus. And I don't know how much was visible at that moment in time, but Jesus would have done on this man a major reparation job, you know.
Mm.
If you've just damaged all the organs in your extremities, you know, new fingers, new feet, new toes, new face, because the face is deformed as well, nose has disappeared,
yeah.
People damaged their nose. So completely remade. And then inside, that touch meant so much. It means welcome back to the land of the living. Right? Welcome back to my world. Right? Well, do you know, that's why touch is important. That's why we give each other a hug, don't we all?
Yeah.
That sort of thing. Yeah? So it's Jesus showing his compassion to this poor man in bringing him back into life and into society.
Right.
What a wonderful thing for Jesus to do. And you know, it's a picture of what he wants to do in everybody's life, isn't it? They may be excluded, not from leprosy, but all sorts of other things, but he wants to bring them in, into the wall, into his presence. So he reached out and touched the man and said, I am willing, be clean. Right, so that's answered that question. Next, please. So he says, I am willing, he said, be clean, and immediately the leprosy left him. That tells us that Jesus is not only able, but he's willing to heal. Yeah? But, interestingly, the New Testament never uses the word to heal when it's talking about leprosy.
Right.
Yeah? It talks, well, I'm giving a quote from Matthew there. It says, Jesus sent out the disciples with the instructions, heal the sick, raise the dead, and cleanse those who have leprosy, and drive out demons.
Mm.
Leprosy is a special case. I mean, it's a disease, we know that. But it's not described as a disease to be healed. It's more than a disease, because it's a social death.
Yeah.
Leprosy contaminates you so that you're separated from God. And so when Jesus comes to tell us to cleanse the lepers, it means that they're brought back in, into the family. That's a wonderful thing. So cleanse the lepers. It meant physical restoration. Okay, new eyes, new nose, new feet and everything else. A social restoration, he's brought back into the company,
yeah.
Go back home now,
yeah.
Visit his family, and all of that, what all Jesus. That meant, yes, but spiritual restoration, yeah. In this case, this man's come to meet with Jesus, his life, spiritual life, he knows he's accepted by the Lord, wonderful, yeah, he is able, and he's willing, praise the Lord, next please, so Jesus ordered him, instructions please, he ordered him, don't tell anyone. Well, how could you keep quiet when you just had a remake like that? Well, I mean, actually, he doesn't need to say a word, he just needs to walk.
Yeah.
Will people recognise that leper, though?
I'm not sure.
They've got a new face, don't
they? Yes, right. It's, I don't know, but anyway, somehow people got to know about it. I don't know if he did blab, but why didn't Jesus want him to tell?
He didn't want him posted up.
Well, yeah, I think...
Because people wouldn't know the full story.
They wouldn't know the full story. Let me put it this way. I think Jesus is not into showmanship.
No.
Yeah, that's one of the things, you know. When Jesus who's going to minister to someone and there's a crowd coming, he gets him to the side or her to the side and ministers to them, you know. It's personal. It's not, you're not on display as a big showpiece, you know, to impress people with how great Jesus is. He cares about you as an individual. That may be part of it. But also, I think people might have got the wrong idea of what this Messiah is, you know. It's all, in the early ministry of Jesus, he tells them not to say, because they keep getting this wrong idea that the Messiah is the one who comes to smash the Romans and just sort out all things for the Jews, you know. It's not like that, and Jesus has to sort of re-educate them, I suppose. So, no show, and the wrong idea about his mission, right? So,
do you think that when Jesus heals, it's a good thing not to tell anyone?
Well, no, I don't think so now.
No?
No, because that was for them. That sounds terrible, but Jesus told them not to say, but when he'd come from, risen from the dead, he gets them all together and says, go and tell them!
Ah.
Right. So now you can tell the people what the Lord's done for you, and Jesus won't say, shh, quiet, no. You let everybody know.
Right.
Okay. Because we all know he's the Messiah now, and we know he's not a Messiah that came to smash the Romans, he's the Messiah that came to save. Right, okay, next slide, please. Right, then Jesus ordered him, don't tell anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and offer the sacrifices that Moses commanded for your cleansing as a testimony to them. So Jesus is instructing him to obey the Bible. Right, that's a good thing. Jesus will never tell you to disobey God's word. Right, because he wrote it. So he's telling him to follow the Bible's instructions, and here's one example. These are regulations for any diseased person at the time of their ceremonial cleansing when they are brought to the priest, and then they have to bring various sacrifices and other things. You can read it all in Leviticus. It's the doctor's manual, it's Leviticus, you know. It tells them how to diagnose and what to do about it. Yeah. Okay, so he says, go and see the priest and do the things that Moses told you to do. And the reason for that is, he's going to get a certificate to say he's welcome back into society. Yeah? You need everything in triplicate these days. Well, they probably needed something like that then as well. At least the priest needs to know that this guy's clean. Otherwise, they might bundle him out of town again.
Yeah.
Okay, so go and tell the priest so that you've got an official recognition that you're back in business. Wonderful. But there's another little interesting twist to this. I'm not quite sure what Jesus is saying here. Two possibilities. He says, go and show all this to the, do the sacrifices as a testimony to them. What's the them, or who's the them? Is it a testimony to the law, to the commandments? Could be. You know, do it so that you're showing you're backing up what the Bible says. That could be a testimony to them. But even if it's that, it also probably means as a testimony to those who are getting into the opposition camp or opposing Jesus. Just show them what I've done. Right? Because later on, when Jesus makes the claim that he's the Son of God, and they're going to stone him, he says, what are you doing this for? He says, well, you're just a man claiming to be God. He says, well, if you don't believe me, believe what I've done.
Yeah.
Right? You see it from what I've done, who I am. Okay, so make it as a testimony to them. Next, please, then. Right. Yet the news about him spread all the more, so that crowds of people came to hear him and to be healed of their sicknesses. Right, you can't keep the word out, can you? It's everywhere, everybody hears that Jesus is in town. He must have closed down so many hospitals. Brilliant. Yeah, so they all come, because when people are desperate, and people are, human beings are needy people, and when they hear that someone can help them, they'll go. So here's Jesus ministering to them, and he says, and the word spread, that's the message about Jesus. The word spread that he's able and willing. You get to Jesus and he'll sort you out. Wonderful, eh? That's wonderful. Right, next please. So, last verse of the prayer, this is, but Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. Didn't he care about people then?
Yes, but he
had to get
full of God.
That's what it's about. It's about his relationship with the Father. Jesus here is to display the Father's glory in the works and the words that he gives, and the only way to recharge his batteries. He's a man like you and me. He got tired.
Yes.
Right? He needed building up in himself in his relationship with the Father. And I bring out the point, the simple lesson is, you can't give out unless you receive in worship. Jesus went to meet with his Father to worship and to have his batteries recharged. Get your perspectives right. Friends, brothers and sisters, I encourage you to do that each day. You know, top up your batteries, because this world drains your light out very quickly. Yeah. So, meet with the Lord and spend time worshipping. It's not about how many chapters you read, or how long your prayers are. Spend time with Jesus. Invite him into your room and have a cup of coffee with him or something. Yeah, you can do, you know. Yeah. Right, so, that's what it's about. Jesus went away often because he was giving out so much, he needed to be on the receiving side as well. So I think it's true for him, it's certainly true for us. Yes. Next, please, then. One more to say. Here we are. The Bible doesn't do this, but the implication's there. Leprosy can be compared to sin. As I say, it's not described as being healed, but as being cleansed. Right? And just a very important point here. I'm saying what the Bible doesn't say. Yeah, I'm comparing leprosy to sin. I don't think God made leprosy as a sign of sin, because the danger is people can say that people who got leprosy are bigger sinners than people who haven't. Right? But they weren't. They're not. You know? And people who've got terrible diseases and things like that are not bigger sinners necessarily than someone else. There is a connection between sin and sickness. You knew that. Yeah? Adam messed it up for us. So every disease that's landed on planet Earth originated with Adam's sin. So sin is the cause of sickness, and it's the ultimate cause of death. Mm. When you see someone's death certificate, and it says they died of pneumonia, they didn't. Sin killed them, right? That's what killed them in the end, but pneumonia may have been the agent. Okay, you got the idea. But the Bible doesn't equate sin and leprosy together, because it would be almost saying that leprosy is a special case. It isn't, in that sense. So having made that point, right, we'll think about leprosy as a picture of sin, because there are so many corresponding points. Number one is, it's imperceptible to start with. You don't notice at first. The little sins aren't big sins.
Yeah.
But do enough little sins, and you'll find out you'll be doing a few big ones in a short time. It's the old idea of the frog in the pan of water. Mm. You come across it, haven't you?
Yeah.
Yeah? Put a frog into a pan of hot water, and what will the frog do?
Jump out.
But because they're cold-blooded animals, right, their temperature adjusts to their surroundings. So put the frog in a pan of cold water. I'm not suggesting you do this, by the way. Put it in a pan of cold water and turn on the gas slowly. It'll warm up slowly and the frog will be completely oblivious, because it's a warm-blooded, cold-blooded animal. It adjusts to its surrounding temperature until it's boiled to death.
That's French meal.
Right? And that, dear friends, French frogs, yes. But the point I'm making is, sin is like that. It starts out little, and you know, it gets bigger and bigger. People, it says on about consciences being hardened. Right? It starts off little. And leprosy, you don't know you've got it, until it's taken hold, and it's too late. Right? Sin's like that. So, let me remind you, there isn't such a thing as a little sin. Right? A little sin is a toehold for some bigger ones. Right? And little sins will get you into bigger trouble in the time, if you give it long enough. Right. First, then next one. It contaminates every part. Leprosy spreads around your body. Messes up everything, doesn't it? And sin does that. It contaminates people's lives in every area. So the way we think gets damaged. The way we behave. Our emotions get messed up. We're all very touchy now, you know, all very sensitive. And if someone upsets us, we get angry, don't we? Sin has got a good way of priming the pump for all of those things. You know, so all of that, and then the gossip comes out. Sin shows itself in how you talk, you use your tongue. Sin shows itself in how you use your bodies. The people go off abusing them in all sorts of ways. So it contaminates every part. Leprosy is the same. Okay? Next then, is it infects others. Did you know that? You can't sin on your own. You start on your own, but it's got to affect somebody. Your closest and dearest are going to get damaged somewhere along the line. So sin has its way of contaminating others as well. And of course, this is one of the terrible things about leaders. If they sin, they set an example for others. And everybody else can say, well, if they do it, if he does it, it's okay, isn't it? No, it's not okay if he does it. If the Bible says it's wrong in leaders as well as everybody else. So it infects others. Next one is, it makes the sufferer insensitive to danger. Yeah? So they can't feel pain when they've got leprosy, right? And when you, and this is part, one of the tragedies of being in a pagan society in which we're in, when someone becomes a Christian, they bring a lot of baggage with them, You know, they're not perfect saints immediately. Did you know that?
Yeah.
They're not perfect. You're not perfect either, yeah? But we're more on the road, some of us than others. But, you know, when you come into becoming a Christian, so when Paul writes to the Corinthians, he's to tell them about all these things, lying, cheating, immorality, all that stuff. He said, you can't do that anymore. But they brought that baggage in, and they've got so accustomed to it, that doing the fiddle on the side's nothing to them, you know, it's what we all do, isn't it? But all of a sudden, God starts saying, no, no, no. Right? So, the danger of sin is it hardens you to being insensitive to the sins that are around us. It's a terrible thing. I'll give you this. Maybe you've heard it. You've probably seen it yourselves. You get a newspaper from 20, 30, 40 years ago. And just look at what they could report then and what they report now. Mm-hmm. Look at the pictures they put in then, and they didn't put in then, and they will put in now.
Yeah.
Right? The type of attitudes that are in the what you call the agony ants.
Yeah.
Right? Different world altogether. Yeah. Sin has been chipping away and hardening people, so that now, I mean, you know, how about some of the old timers? You know, in their youth they wouldn't have sworn, wouldn't have cursed away. Mm-hmm. Now it's. I'm not saying they're all that. I mean, there's some pretty good swearers in the old days as well, I'm sure. But you got the idea.
Yeah.
The culture that was acceptable then is certainly not that. We've been hardened by sin. That's the point. Makes you insensitive. And that is the danger. Because the harder you get, the tougher it's hard to crack the nut to get you back to Jesus. Right. Next one is, it isolates the individual from family and friends. That's what leprosy does. They're cut off from society. And how many marriages have been busted up by a husband going off to the pornography or the drink or working at the office too long and getting friendly with the secretary or whatever? You know, that sort of thing?
Mm.
Yeah? It breaks up families, it isolates you from people, you get a closed off world, nobody's allowed in. You know, that's terrible. Isolates you from families and friends. So how many people ruin their lives and when they come to the end of the road think, oh dear, didn't I make a mess of it? All because. Right, and lastly, it slowly destroys life. You know, what they were as a human being, as part of society and family and relationships, is slowly taken away and destroyed. That's what leprosy does, but that's what sin does. Yeah? That's terrible. It's terrible. Now then, I've just got one good thing to offer in that. We see what the diagnosis of sin is. Our last picture, please, James. It's this. Only the Lord Jesus can cleanse a man or woman from sin. You see, same word, to cleanse from sin as to cleanse from leprosy. Only Jesus can do that. And I've got some good news. When we pray for people, we believe that the Lord is willing and the Lord is able. The problem is we don't know the Lord's when, right? Which is a bit of an iffy sort of thing, I find anyway. But the Lord knows his way. Yeah? But I can make an absolute guarantee on this one, yeah, in terms of sin. If someone comes to Jesus and asks him to forgive them, when is it happening? Instantaneous!
Yeah.
Yes? If you seek him with all your heart, you will find him. Yes? If you ask him genuinely and sincerely, he's not going to say, oh, well, wait 12 weeks and I'll see how it goes then. Eh? No. He says he will not turn away anybody who comes to him. So, if you go to Jesus with your leprosy, your sin, and you say to him, Lord, if you're willing, you can cleanse me. He's going to say, be clean. I guarantee it. It's a promise in the Bible. Yes, yeah. Jesus saves sinners. That's where he came. Came to save sinners. So, our dear friend with the leprosy went home a happy man, right? But it wasn't just that his body was cleansed. I'm quite sure. And we're going to look at that next time. There's something happened in his heart as well.
Yeah.
Jesus is able to forgive.
He's gone.
Cleanse the heart as well as the old skin as well. I think that's it. Next one, is that it? Yeah, we've reached the end of the road. Right, let's pray then, shall we? And if there are things in your life that you want to bring to Jesus, ask him to forgive you and ask him to give you the power to overcome. As I say, we're not perfect in one second. We have a growing process, but the forgiveness is complete right from the word go. Dear Jesus, thank you, Lord. You touched that man's life in every area. Thank you, Lord, that while he had questions, you answered them. You were willing, because you are able to do it, Lord, and you want to do it. Thank you. Thank you, Lord, for your forgiveness. We pray for those who are suffering with sicknesses here this morning. Lord, minister your healing power. Lord, grant grace and life and blessing and mercy. Father, we lift each to you, Lord, with all the needs and challenges we face. Lord, we come because you're able. Lord, we believe you're willing. Lord, we would not demand and command in the sense of how you work out the answers to our prayers. But Lord, we believe you hear, we believe you know, and we believe you care. And Lord, you're not one to leave us lying in the gutter. Oh Jesus, thank you. Father, we come to and bless you, for Jesus is the one who made the sacrifice to enable us to experience full and free forgiveness. Lord, that there is now no condemnation to those who are in Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, for the forgiveness you offer. Lord, it's available for anybody and everybody. Lord, we know it's only those that take it up and accept it, Lord, that receive it. And Lord, we're here this morning, Lord, come into our lives afresh. Fill us anew with your Spirit and enable us to walk with you in newness of life. Like that leper, bounce down the road, Lord. May we go forth, knowing the joy of the Lord is our strength. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.